Hello and welcome to the 20th Manx Footy Pod of the 2019-20 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by St Mary's player manager Alex Harrison and skipper Frank Jones. Lads, welcome back. We should almost have a bench for you two. You're in that often, Frank. I think this is the second time this season alone, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was commented on Facebook, but you're not on retainer, are you? You're just easily
not
available.
Not that I know about.
But thanks for coming back in, Alex. Thanks for coming in.
No worries.
Obviously, we've got you in to look ahead to Saturday's ECAP FA Cup quarterfinal with Peel, but also reflect on the kind of life Premier League season as a whole as you sit nicely at the top of the table at the moment. But before that, Dave...
It's your favourite time of the week.
We've been over to what's fast becoming Willy Wonka's emporium on the Isle of Man.
It is.
The EBF garage on Peel Road.
All the petrol stations are available.
Nicely plugged. Yeah. So we've been over. The other day we went for a little lunch date yesterday.
We did, yeah. It was very romantic.
And we just see that there was three variants on biscuits we've never seen before.
Yeah, and they were all a bit disturbing, really, weren't they?
Yeah, disturbing is one word. So there was two McVitie digestive variations. One was a strawberry and cream one.
Yeah.
And one is a marble and a toast, which I've actually got. And what was the other variant?
It was pineapple Jaffa cakes.
Yes, which we might inflict on next week's guest. We've got Jonesy coming in a couple of weeks, haven't we, to talk about
it,
maybe save it for that one. But yes, we're going to kick off with these marmalade on toast loaves. Now, I'm sorry, Frank, I didn't realise you'd given up chocolate for Lent, so you don't have one. But Al, you're all right with these, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right, you can have one of them.
It's safe to say that Frank's come well prepared anyway.
To be fair, Frank has brought his own biscuits, and it bought... absolute shed load.
I mean, last time he was in, he brought pastries. This time he's brought a whole box of biscuits in. So yeah, you're not going to go hungry, mate.
I quite like them.
Yeah, they're fine.
They're a solid 7, them, aren't they? They're like a chocolate orange in the digestive.
Yeah, they are. The chocolate orange.
That's decent, that. Right, well, we'll put a picture of that up on our various socials later on, with Dave giving his in-depth review.
I'll have some on, when is it, Easter Sunday?
We'll save you one. I'll make sure it's nicely nicely wrapped in the thing, because you don't want to go in soft, do you, Frank? That's the last thing you need.
Well, if you get to the Africa final, we might bring a packet if you get that far.
That's the
post-match interview.
Try this.
Yeah. Right, we're not here just to talk about biscuits, although we could for hours and hours, couldn't we, Dave? But we're here to talk about Manx football. And Alex, this time, for the second time in as many weeks, you play Peel on Saturday. Now, obviously, for those of you who don't know, last weekend's game lasted about 68 minutes. I think this is a bit of a discrepancy. Peel official site saying 68. Eric Opter was saying 70, wasn't it? So we'll call it 69 before it was abandoned because of Storm. Is it Jorge or George?
Jorge.
You're such a linguist, Dave.
Hello.
You kept that hidden.
I struggled with the biscuit, man.
So I suppose the first question, Alex, should the game have kicked off in the first place, or was it just one of those things?
It was definitely breezy before the game. I think it was probably worse the week before when we played Russian to start with. It was a lot worse, but I think ultimately made the right decision. I know, I think Mecham went on the radio and said it shouldn't have been called off. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I agree with that because Baller took a goal kick which went out for a corner. So I think the referee, it started it and it should have started, and then obviously it picked up second half, and I think he made the right call.
Did you learn anything from it though? You know, it was 70 minutes. Obviously, Dave, you were there for the first half, so I'll ask for your considered thoughts in a minute. But yeah, is it a difficult one, or do you just have to wipe that off and
start?
Did you learn much about playing Peel? Do you think going into this weekend, you think, all right, well, we've already played 70 minutes against them, I know they're either going to set up, or I fancy your chances to get to do it if we do this again, or what?
I think they've got quite a young team, and there's some really good young lads coming through there. We've played them multiple times over the years, so you kind of know what they're going to do. Frank wasn't man marked this last week, so that's the first time I've seen that since he's joined St Mary's. I think it's just going to be the similar game. The weather for me was, I wasn't happy. It was windy, and I was quite happy when it got called off in the end, because I don't think it suited us at all. But going into this week, hopefully the conditions are a little bit better, and I fancy us to win.
Frank, obviously, abandonments are a bit quite rare in Manx football. I think Peel had this tremendous thing we shared on our Facebook page. It was, I think they've had 11 in their entire history. One of them was because of a broken crossbar.
I think there was sadly a
bad injury, but some of them are the most bizarre reasons. Did you read that? Amazing. But have you ever played an abandonment before? It's like a nil-nil. It's quite a rarity in Manx football, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think. I don't think I have. I don't think I've ever played in a game that's been called off at that kind of time. Going back to what Alex said, I think he did make the right decision. The ref. I was more scared of it going past 70 minutes because then they said it would be a result.
Yeah.
And if he made that a call in 5 minutes' time, if it did get worse, we can't afford to draw if we're going to try and win this league. Mm-hmm. So I was a bit like, well, if it's going to get called, call it now because then it's a clean slate for both of us. But then you speak to other people and they're like, you've got the wind in your back. Why would you want it off? Like, they couldn't get out of the half. You were just kind of, you were going to score eventually. But if it went out of our hands, because Stewie did make, he went and got Alex and Falky come thing and Lodgy was there and they made the decision between themselves, which was, I think it was the right. But come 72 minutes, 73 minutes, if Stewie would have just went, nah, this is far too much, called it, and then people are like, well, it's over, I think it is 70 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a result, 1-1. At the end of the season, we could have been looking, thinking, oh my God, that kind of cost us.
Do you think, we're going to talk about the season
now. We have played in an abandoned game before.
Good memory,
against,
Alex.
We played against Laxey at the Bowl in 2009.
That cost us the league, didn't it?
Cost us the league.
What happened?
Torrential rain down when the ball was grass.
But we were winning 3-0.
Yeah, and then we
in the replay, we drew 1-1 and we lost the league by a point, was it? Or 2 points or something?
That's why you've expunged it through the council and you've got past that point. But we sort of, the point you were making, Frank, I know you're sitting pretty at the moment at the top. You have played a couple of games more than most.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be down to that fine margin come May, or do you think there is a bit of wiggle room this season that maybe there hasn't been in the past?
No, I don't think there is. I think, with us dropping points to Russian the other week, that is our wiggle room gone now.
Right.
I think we've got to kind of win out to win it. I think before the Russian game, we did have obviously a slip up to say, but we've used that now, I think. So now I think we've got six left to play.
Mm.
And I know everyone says, oh yeah, well, you've played a few more, but you'd rather have the points on the board. And we can play the next six in the next 6 weeks and you don't have to worry about anyone else. And yeah, you are what you are, but... I don't think there's any. We can't afford to drop any more points now to win the league.
Alex, you are top of the league, as we've said. You're still in the FA Cup. Obviously, the Railway Cup, when it is played, you're still in that.
If
it's played, I suppose. Yeah, the Hospital Cup. If it's played, you're still in that. How do you assess this season? Has it gone as you planned? How does it compare to last season?
It's been frustrating, really. We lost a lot of players. Brought a few players in. Squad's really thin. League season started later. A lot of cancellations. So it's been very, very frustrating. But in terms of we're in all the competitions, which we didn't get to the Railway Cup final last year, but we got to the other two finals. So we're in a really good position. It's just hopefully we can get a few people back. We've been short the last few weeks, a few months. So hopefully we can get people back, and I'd be quite confident that we will win something.
And one of those is Josh Kelly. He's just come back from injury. He's missed a large portion of the season, so he must be a massive boost.
Yeah, massive. You can see in training each week he's getting better and better and better. So, yeah, he's a great goal scorer, holds the ball really well. He's going to help us.
And Dan played a couple of minutes against Russian as well. So if he gets back up to match fitness, it's like mid-season signings, really.
Yeah, he's got an injury on his hip, I think, but... I think he's gonna help, especially off the bench. Just try and get a bit of fitness with him. So, yeah, off the bench he's very effective.
Has it been harder this season motivating the squad? Because last year, obviously, it was that first time of doing it and everything like this. Has it been a bit of a different mentality within the squad this year?
I think the players that were here last year are very much motivated. It's the other lads coming in and then injuries happening. We've been very unlucky with injuries, like unbelievably unlucky. First. Charity Shield, lose Josh Kelly, and then a few games in you lose Dan Hattersley, and then you lose Matty Kent Lloyd carrying a few niggles. So we're constantly losing players throughout the season so far. So hopefully it turns the other way, and we have a bigger squad and everyone available coming to the last stages.
Because it's had knock on effect. I've done a stealing from the Combi corner, Dave, but the first team Combi has started dropping points in recent weekend. Couldn't actually get a team out of the weekend.
Yeah, that's it. The game against Peel was called off for that reason. But going back to the first team, I mean, two of the players that certainly caught the eye last week was Craig Murphy up front and Sammy Gellin. Both played well, didn't they? And with the conditions, it wasn't a game for aerial football at all last week, really, was it? And so you guys got it down on the deck a lot more, which certainly helped, I thought. And that's where the goal came from.
Yeah. First half, we actually played better with the wind coming against us. We panicked a little bit second half and went a little bit direct, which we did speak about at the start of the game and try to prevent that from happening. But Yeah, we did. We played some nice stuff. Brian Crellin was excellent as well. Sammy Gellin, though, when he plays, when he, on his days, as good as anyone on the island, in my opinion. Yeah. Which we seen in training on Tuesday. You know, he's a fantastic player. And then Craig's obviously, you know, plugging away. He's got himself in really good shape. He's training hard. So again, hopefully, starts banging in the goals for us the next few games.
Frank, a big question. I haven't actually written it down as one I meant to ask you the other week, but I watched you guys against Russian, and most of the team now seem to have beards to get into that. You know, is there any pressure on you to grow your beard out? You know, we've got Josh, we've got Dan, we've got Alex, Carl Clark still looks like he's sleeping under a bridge most of the time. A few others, you know, with
Tom.
Sam as well. Tom Weir. They're all bearded. Is there any pressure from the skipper to follow suit?
I think if I could grow one, maybe. That's the biggest problem.
But you must be the most hirsute team in the Premier League now, I'd say. You know, champions and probably the best set of beards I've seen this season. You know, obviously bringing Josh in for his goal scoring talents and his beardness is done you well. But yeah, is that something you talk about in the changing room? Is there a comb that you're all swapping around? Have you all got a St Mary's beard oil line?
I've never even kind of noticed, to be fair. Now you said it, now I'm going to be who's got one.
Well, as a fellow beard wearer, I did notice it, especially in that wind. You can see some Carl's was getting taken away a bit at half time. But yeah, the whole spectrum of beards as well. You know, obviously we've got Alex's 3-day designer stubble to Josh Kelly's. He's been crafting away at that since he was about 12, hasn't he?
We're still waiting for someone to get a beard as good as Dan Pennington, though.
Oh, that was lovely. That
his was the winner a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, beard of the season. Right, we've had tons of questions in for you guys. I think we had over about 14, 15. Dave, you want to kick off?
Right, first one's in from Aaron Delaney. Just asks, hi, gents, what are your thoughts on FC Aardman? So we'll start with you, Alex.
It's brilliant. I think it's going to be exciting, especially for the younger generation coming through. One of the questions later on asks around, do we wish it came a little bit earlier? Mm. Yeah, we do, but unfortunately it didn't. But now it's here, it's great. And hopefully younger players get more opportunities and showcase themselves and get those contracts in the UK, like Adam Long.
Mm. Frank, do you agree?
Yeah, 100%. It would have been great 10 years ago, wouldn't it? Mm. But I'm just glad it's happening, because I wouldn't want to, in another 10 years, you listen to people saying, oh, is it happening and all this kind of stuff. It's so good. I think it's the more and more you look into it as well, the actual bigger it is. It's not just about a football team that's going to go and play in some league across. And until you, I think you have as well, you've seen the presentation from Jones that I went around and done to everyone, and the more and more things that keep coming out now and the press and everything that's going on, it is such a, so much is being put into it. It's such a bigger animal than just a football team that's being plucked out to go and play in England. Hopefully, everyone gets behind it and supports it and it kind of runs its course, because I think it's not going to be a better way to kind of progress and keep people progressing through the system. And I was speaking to someone on Saturday just about, and he was from Laxey, and he was really for it, and he said they're going to try and maybe strip their kind of kids through, and what their kind of process is that they can look in the future, and it's not about Laxey first team, it's about how many players that they can get in FC Aleman, there's no ceiling there then, is there? It's like you go and play, you see some of the kids now that'll win a Railway Cup at, the St George's kids that are 18, 19, won a Railway Cup, won a league. Where do you go then?
Yeah.
That's the ceiling, isn't it? And that's where maybe you might be losing people then from the game, and that's why it's kind of gone a bit stale.
What do we think? Obviously, Chris Senior was appointed the other week. Was there anyone else that could have been, to be honest, Alex? Because
no.
His CV is just, it has everything on, doesn't it, in Manx football terms?
For me, no. I think he was the best and only choice.
Mm.
I think he's the best, one of the best motivators you'll ever come across, and he knows how to win, doesn't he? So I think it was an excellent appointment by Jonesy and the other director guys.
I think that's the biggest thing. He knows how to win, and I think with FC Aleman going into this league to start with, to keep people interested and to keep kind of maybe the money side coming in and things like that, you've got to progress quite fast, I think. And I think he'll do that, because he won't care about anything else but winning. And I played under him for all them years, and he doesn't upset people and all this kind of stuff. He wants to win, and that's, I think you've got to have that to get through out of them kind of there'll be tough leagues, won't they, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you FC, the North West Counties League put a press release out the other week, and Bury are potentially going to be in the mix as well, the Phoenix club, after obviously the league club demise at the end start of this season. So they're going to be big fish in that pond as well, because they'll be drawing a lot of players in. I don't know if they're going to be playing at Gig Lane, I presume not, but they're essentially still, you know, smatters of a professional outfit there, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's either way, it's exciting times going forward, isn't it? And as you mentioned, Bassey, you know, is win at all costs sort of thing. It's going to be interesting to see how the English media take to him in his post-match interviews and stuff.
I think it's going to be a big learning curve, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're not going to get it right early. Not everyone's going to get it right in them first couple of years. It is going to be a massive learning curve. And hopefully they've spoke to the likes of Jersey and Guernsey, which I know they have, and they kind of...
Well, Jersey, just coincidentally, they can actually secure their league this week. They've obviously, it's their first season in offshore competition. I think they've won 26 from 20. They've got the only 100% record in the non-league structure or something silly like that. But yeah, they can win their league. They've won every game. And I think next week or the end of this month, they've got 3 games in 3 days. Because this is one of the things we'll have to get used to, is playing rearranged fixtures. It's all right when it's Peel away, but when suddenly you're playing Widnes Town or something like that, and how the squad get through that. But they seem to have had the squad to deal with that, which is probably what's pleased them the most. They've been bringing in more than just the 18, 20, 22 that perhaps they thought at the start of the season, and they've won. But it's how FC Alaman, if it's still an if at this stage, if they get in, how they deal with things like that. Right, and Page has also set a question in, referee extraordinaire. He said, and also my mother-in-law's neighbour, he said, as players, how do you find the introduction of sin bins has impacted on the local game? Now, it'll be interesting to get your viewpoint on this, because we were talking about this the other week, and we think it's worked.
Yeah.
Because our dissent seems to be down. But Frank, you look anguished. So.
No, I've got kind of two things about it. I think, just so I haven't been sin bin this year, everyone's got this thing of me about I can't keep my mouth shut, but I actually haven't been sin bin this year.
Yet. That big tongue on your back Saturday now.
But I think some of them use it great, and it's been fantastic, and it's been really good. But then I think you get the odd one that kind of, they've got it as a threatening on you, as in when if they make a mistake kind of thing and you challenge it, then they don't want to explain to you, and then they just tell you to kind of shut up or you're going in the sin bin, which I think is ridiculous.
Right.
But on the whole of it, I think it's very good, because it does cut out all that kind of thing. We had it a couple of weeks ago, and he should have been in the sin bin, you know, they can't keep the mouth shut, off, and then he was off, he come back on and someone else got it, and you play for, and it gets our teams back up to say, like, shut your mouth, do you know what I mean? Just kind of get on with it.
Well, that was the point I was going to make. I have to say, one of the things that impressed me is that you as a captain, and I'm not just bringing it out, but the control seems to be having more of an effect on the rest of your team now. You're the one almost policing before the referee gets involved.
Yeah.
Alex, what do you think of the sin bins? Obviously,
I think it's ridiculous.
Fair enough.
I honestly think it's ridiculous. You know, if someone's gobbing off, book them. If they're gobbing off again, send them off.
Okay. So do you ridiculous. Not think it's...
I think the good refs don't need to use it.
Right.
Don't use it that often.
Okay.
I don't... Yeah, I think
and
you're
I
right
think,
there.
And I think the poor refs use it a lot.
Would they not use it as a tool as they're improving, though? Could you not see, like, maybe to start off it helps them, it aids them, and then as they get improved as a referee, they maybe think, well, I don't need to use that anymore, I will use the yellow card.
Maybe we'll see, but that'll be too
and going back to what I said, I think if it's used in the right way, I think it's okay, isn't it? You know, and you think, but it's when you're threatened with it, when you're maybe asking a question and they don't want to answer it, and then they threaten you with the sin bin if you don't shut up, basically.
Yeah.
But going back to what Alex said, probably he's right what he says, the better refs, I bet they don't use it that much.
Right.
Like John McCallum and Andy Page, for instance, I don't think I've ever seen them give out a sin bin.
Lodgy as well.
Lodgy, yeah. Mm. They can deal with...
Kev will have the stats. The man has the stats, so it'll be interesting to see how many sin bins have been dished out this season. And I'm sure... within 2 emails we could find that out, so maybe for next week we'll find that one out. Next question is for you, Alex, from Barry Stanley. I went to school with him, actually. You played in your mighty business league team this season, didn't he, or last season?
Yeah, he would have done, yeah.
Yeah. He says, ask Harrison if he's more of a PK or a Sergio Ramos.
Depends on the Depends what mood I'm in.
You're Ramos on Tuesday, weren't you?
Ramos on Tuesday. Sometimes on PK.
Next question is from Sammy Gallen, Dave.
Yeah, you're a esteemed teammate. First question for you, Albo. Why do you always moan and cheat in training?
Honestly, the cheating in our training is horrendous. Like the barefaced lion. Honestly, all the
time. He loses the head so easy.
They just stop and start arguing with each other and arguing at Dino, who's reffing the game.
We play in like a hall and we've got like three teams, say, and you play to two goals or you play like 3 minutes and we wait outside the hall. Yeah. And he is the always one that the door swings open when his team's being beat and he's like lost the head walking out. Or he's the one that opens the door and goes, next!
It's that winner's mentality that he got from Bassi, wasn't it? Yeah. And he says, why is Frank always on the losing team in five-a-side?
Al picks the teams and always stitches me up. No, to be fair, would you want me on a five-a-side team?
What do you mean, super Frank? No.
Not on a five-a-side pitch when you've got like Bri Crellin just running around you.
Foot soccer.
And squash player now.
That's it.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, is that why he hasn't been training?
Yeah, I wasn't meant to mention that. He did say, "Don't talk to Alex about squash." Another bearded gentleman in your team, Ryan, as well. Yeah. It's almost like Beard FC.
I might have to grow this or try. Might get one for start now.
Adrian Rashid is obviously sending his usual questions, Dave.
Yeah, first up, just asking if you're enjoying a brew from the mugs.
Frank's got the original merch there, and you've got this season's range, Alex. So
I thought he actually would have got me personally one of these for Christmas or my birthday.
He might have.
But still not.
Perhaps if he addressed it to super Frank Jones, it may not have got to you in the post, but there you go.
He needs to hire you first. Oh, you need to hire him first.
Maybe when this FC Alman.
And then you can get him a Just For Men deal when the beer
comes. She asks, are there any Manx players that deserve the title of super, like our super times five Frank?
I think he's cutting it down now, so we don't have to say it as many times.
Yeah.
They're both stumped by this one. Frank, is there anyone? No?
There's loads, isn't there?
It's good. That deserves Super Frank, though. Super Frank obviously comes from the iconic picture from the deepest, darkest Cumbria, where you celebrate like that.
Thanks to Gary.
I can't think of many others that celebrate in such...
I think Hartley celebrates like that.
Does he?
I've seen a lot of pictures of him with his sweet clod.
Super
if
Dan.
If he can...
What do you think, Al?
Yeah, I like that. Super Dan.
Yeah, Super Dan.
He just needs to sort his groin out.
He's not so super groin.
He's one like to score goals, him, though. He's that prolific.
Yeah. He's like still there in the top goal scorers, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
only played like four games.
Yeah, yeah, he's no Carl Hickey, though, let's be honest. You know, eight against Governors. Who else are we talking about? So next question from Rashid. He says, any players that you think who were different gravy at school growing up who the listeners would not expect? And he asks this quite often, and we usually get some really
interesting answers. Yeah.
So, is there anyone at school that you thought they're an absolute baller, but are now nowhere to be seen?
I've got two.
Go on, Al, you go first while Frank thinks.
Well, I don't want to be disrespectful, but one still plays. He is a bit of a pudding now.
Stop Brian Kellum.
No, Skippy Lancaster.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And another one's don't know him, Paul O'Hare.
Oh, right.
Was phenomenal.
Right.
He was the best player on the Arms.
Position?
He was left midfield.
Right. Left field. Right. Phenomenal.
Frank. One that always sticks in my head is Jamie Storey.
Oh yeah.
When he came over from England, and I think he was somewhere playing professionally, he came over when we were in like the last year at Ballycommy, and he was like unbelievable. And I was like, Jesus Christ, what's happened here? And then he kind of played, but then he's just like, I think he plays in the Combine and
he doesn't.
But when he first came, and even for like a fair few years, he was real good, but I just don't think he's ever been.
Well, there was the formidable front partnership him and Steve Glover had for Corinthians in the second division. They scored about 80-90 goals between them that year, and he obviously had a good run in the Premier League as well, but yeah, good answer. Next question is from Steve Whitley, Dave. He says,
It's a question for you, Alex.
Right up here.
Double Whopper burger or two mini chicken fillet burgers from KFC?
Well, I suppose neither at the moment. No.
Neither. Vegetarian, so neither, but chicken fillet burgers.
If you were still on it.
If I was still on it, yeah.
Yeah, fair dude.
Just go for a fish fillet from McDonald's now.
Are they any good?
Never tried one.
But something for me to tick off later in the weekend. He also asked for you, Frank. He says, with such a busy lifestyle and football career, when do you have time to make your day to write your jokes? Now, he did attach this with a picture of Lee Evans.
This
now,
is his little private little joke that he always kind of just throws in about the mix all the time.
Well, to be honest, I'd never really connected the two until he saw the picture. But
there is
a bit of a resemblance.
He is.
Yeah.
Just stick out.
Are you a fan of his work?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. he does a Belton George Formby impression as well, doesn't he? Lee Evans.
Yeah. Mine's not too good.
Right, so yeah, next question's in from Rory Poole, our reporter of the North. So, questions for you both. It says, best goal you've seen at Glen Country Road? Another loaded question.
Yeah, Rory still bangs on about this. Every time about anyone that's played more than 3 minutes at Glen Country Road, this question comes in.
I remember this goal, to be fair.
Was it good? You nodding.
Unfortunately, it was very good.
Were you playing? No, he's not. So, what's the best goal you've seen?
Ever seen.
Were you there for the infamous Myers halfway line?
Didn't see it. I was there, though. I didn't see it.
Quickest goal in Manx football, wasn't it?
Best two goals I've seen. I'd say Jack's free kick last year was excellent from about 40 yards, top bin. Mm-hmm. I'd say maybe not the best goal, but the best moment was years and years ago when Morrissey scored a winner against Laxey. I think they were losing either 2-0 or 3-0 and ended up coming back and winning in the last minute. So I'd probably say that would be the best.
Frank?
It's probably got to be Rory's.
What's best goal you've scored at Glen Country Road? You obviously...
There's a video of one that Callum sent to me not so long ago. It was against Peel, and we play like a little. It was going towards the police station end, and it goes into Callum's feet, and he kind of turns, and I just run past him like this, and the defence step out, and Callum just does that little scoop that he does, and it comes over my shoulder, and I hit it clean on the volley, and somehow it went in. That's probably my best one up there.
He's also asked, I've asked this before, but I love a good pun, so give me your best headline. And I suppose it's got to be Superfriend, isn't it? Wasn't that the headline, or was that?
No, that wasn't the headline, but no. I'm terrible at things like this.
What we had in recently, we had when Dave Cole scored at the last minute.
Screech.
We had Screech, Axie fan Screech.
That was one of your finest, wasn't it? Yeah.
I can't even remember it now, it's that good.
Roy loves them all, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's good with his points, he's better than us too. Al, can you remember any standout?
He always gets them in there.
That standout for me, I've had one about me before, I think, was my first ever game in goal for Geordies when I was 16.
In goal?
No, goal I scored.
Oh, right, okay.
Against Colby, and the headline was Harrison Sets Champions Away.
Oh, there you go. Well remembered as well.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, got a frame on your wall.
We'll have to draw a card with these if people are remembering them. Yeah. Next question is in from the official Douglas and District account, as opposed to the unofficial one. It says, hi both. How did you find the game against us in the FA Cup? You had a bigger win to the Premier League than the 4-0 against us, so we were relatively pleased with our performance against the top side. Were you better than you expected, or worse? Any feedback? Thanks. Now, it was a few weeks ago, this, wasn't it? It was obviously the first week in January. 4-0, Frank. I must admit, no disrespect for D&D, I did think it would be a bit of a high score line, but I believe their goalkeeper played quite well that week, didn't he? He was on the cusp of Team of the Week, so he must have done well. We still conceded four. Frank?
I thought we'd done very well, to be fair. Very, very well. It was right after Christmas as well, wasn't it? It was like the first game after Christmas. So as you know, everyone's a bit kind of...
groggy.
But we were still training, so it wasn't us. It was, but it's on the ball as well. It's a big pitch, isn't it? They sat in and they worked hard, and they obviously had a game plan not to kind of get beat by too many, to be a point. And like you said, we've beat a lot more teams this year, more than four. Mm. They done really well. They did do really well.
Al, have you found teams doing that a lot against you now? Because they think, we're going to get a spanking here if we play too open.
It depends who you're playing. Depends on who you're playing. You know, you're going to get it on against some teams. And I think Old Boys have done that in the first game where they just sat in.
Yeah.
It's frustrating for the first part, but then if you can break through early doors, then the floodgates kind of sometimes open. But. Yeah. With D&D, they played really, really well. They had a chance. They had a couple of chances as well. So they could have scored one or two.
Yeah. Well done to them. Next one's in from another club account, Dave.
Yeah, Douglas Royal.
Presume you know more about this than us, Alex. Or both of you, actually.
They ask, a member of the first team staff would like to ask where Jack and Frank get their linesman flags from out of interest.
Now, is he suggesting you two call for a lot of offsides, or...?
I never call for offsides, so I don't really... I don't get out of it. don't know if he was trying to say, like, just me and Jack trying to ref the game, maybe. He might have been talking about my goal that I scored up there this year. It's probably the best goal I've scored this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool.
It was 1-1, and it got passed, like, back, and I just ran in to close. I think the keeper or the defender, they both kind of... The defender got there first, and hit it as hard as he could, and it hit me clean in the stomach. I nearly fell over, and it went straight in the goal.
It's a bit Calvert-Lewin at the weekend.
Yeah. 10 minutes to go as well, so it was...
It was like 1-1, and we were like, and I just closed it down, and it smacked me clean in the stomach and ended up in the goal.
And did you remember much of the last 10 minutes after that? you also asked... Alex, I think this is with you obviously as an Arsenal fan. He says, Vieira, whoa, oh, oh, is the loudest song he's ever heard at a football match. What is the loudest song heard in return?
I was thinking about this last night because I did see the question. It's a story that Gorney always tells me every time he's up the manor and we have a few pints. So I always try and like get it in there, you know, to make him tell me it again. The loudest fan base I've heard, which is probably surprising, was a couple of years ago, was City, Man City. We were away, and they were on the verge of winning the league. They beat us like 3-1, I think. But they were the loud. They never stopped singing the whole game, which is probably surprising. I've been at Anfield multiple times. Mm. It's no better than, you know, it's a myth in my opinion. But I think the one individual moment, the loudest moment I've ever heard at a stadium was when Andy Johnson scored against Arsenal. They beat us 1-0, last minute winner, about 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah,
and that was the loudest moment. But Anfield's a myth.
Just want to say that a few more times. Just
unbearable.
Will you be leaving the island if they win the league, Al?
No, they've won it now, so I've been through it, haven't we? Everyone's accepted it now. It's just the Invincibles and then the Trebles, which obviously is no longer, so...
There you go. There's small mercies there, isn't there? Final question. This week's in from Foxy. Stephen Fox up at Union Mills. He says, playing the bowl means you won't have many games off. However, away from home, it's a different matter. With the backlog of fixtures happening for some clubs, do you think a rule should be brought in, for example, that if you are 4 games behind, you have to play at another location? Frank. It's quite a sensible question, that, from Foxy.
We were... I was talking about this to someone in work the other day. I can't remember who it was. They were saying, why don't they use the bowl? Like... once a week or twice
Friday
a week
night or something like that,
to put like obviously a fixture on, just like one or two. But the problem comes with is the money, isn't it? So and I was trying to say this, so everyone, it's all right for someone to say, oh, why don't Corinthians play Union Mills down the bowl on Wednesday night? One obviously is the space, or is there because it's just government, isn't it? And I think we were saying, all of a sudden then you say to Corinthians, oh, you're at home, it's £200 higher the bowl. They're gonna be like, I'm not paying that. You know, we've got our own pitch. So I think That would cause it. Unless the FA are going to say, well, we'll put it on and we've got the slot and we'll pay for it, then I think it'd be... Why wouldn't you want to play on the ball?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Al?
Sorry, I forgot the question.
If the teams that have more than 4 fixtures, would you...
I think that's a great idea. Mm. Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
But I wouldn't
ever go 4 games, though, called off 4 times.
Well, I think it means just like if you've got more than...
Like, Geordie's are like 4 games behind us in the league.
Right, got you. Sorry, I thought an individual game is called off 4 times.
Well, unless you have Foxdale at home, which is probably most of their games.
No, I think it's a great idea. Yeah. And Colby and other places like that would allow that. Maybe Mills.
Do you think it's obviously a big if, but if clubs could play, make their home pitches artificial, like, you know, a lot of lower league clubs in Scotland have done now, I know it's semi-pro and professional level, but if the opportunity came up, you're very lucky that you have, but if other pitches now, would you think, all right, let's put a 4G in instead of a grass pitch? Do you think that would be the way to go forward?
Yeah, 100%. Why? I just don't know why you wouldn't want to play on it. It's just so much better. It's so true, isn't it?
Do you guys find it harder than when you go away to play back on grass, or is it?
We're better away from home.
We're better away from home, but on a personal level, I think I'm far better on the ball. I'm not the best on a boggy pitch.
Mm. Well, your home record, you and Rush are the only 2 unbeaten.
Yeah, but away from home, I agree with Frank. I think we're better when it's a bit of a fight.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, okay. I don't know. It's strange, isn't it? Because when the ball was getting turned from grass to astro, everyone was like, what are we doing? We're moving away. Why are we putting this down? And I think now you go to every club, you take an astro like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drop of a hat, they'd have it.
Right, but while we've got you in, we'll have a quick look ahead to Saturday's quarterfinals in the ECAP FA Cup. We've sort of touched on your game briefly. Now, Dave, I'm going to make you put your neck on the line while the boys are in front. Peel St Mary's, you saw the first half last week. Any indication of where it could go this weekend?
Well, last week, Steve, as I alluded to, like, St Mary's played some good football. They got a dab on the floor and some good movements on the go. I think Peel are obviously struggling without some of their key players. Obviously, recently, Danny Bell, they were all absent last week. But as Alex said, they brought in a number of youngsters and they all performed really well, I thought, in the first half. I think St Mary's would be favourites, though. And in all fairness, I mean, Peel did well, but their goal was a bit of a fluke. It came from a wind-assisted free kick. So, but any team that's got Dan Simpson in has always got a chance, haven't they? But I think the Saints will be favourites.
Confident, Frank? Alex seems to be, so...
Yeah, I think going back from last week, we were happy with it. We got in at half time, and I think we were the better team in the first half against that wind. And I think if the game would have carried on that kind of way, I think we would have won comfortably. I was quite impressed with a lot of their kids though, because they are missing their kind of figureheads.
Yeah.
But the kids that come in for them, they didn't kind of look out of place. They're just young lads, but they'll have some team if they kind of keep hold of that in the near future.
Are you worried about a bit of a fixture backlog now? Obviously, you had the game last week, which has to be slotted in. But I suppose, on the flip side, as Steve said in his question, you haven't had many called off. You won't have any called off at home, so you're probably on track in that respect, aren't you?
Yeah, I'd like to get some sort of clarity around the Railway Cup, what's going to happen with that, and the other cups as well, because I know the fixtures are expected to run to the 20th. So it's the end of May, but the Isle of Man go away, so what's going to happen
there?
Fire's
getting moved, isn't it?
So I'd like to know what's priority, what's going to happen, basically.
Just for everyone else, if people want to go on away to watch the football, they want to do something, people can plan a little bit better if there's a final or a semi-final.
Yeah, and three weekends suddenly become rearranged ones, don't they? So then that's when you can sometimes find out, isn't it? Right, elsewhere on Saturday, Colby welcomed Corinthians in the classic Division 2 versus Premier League encounter down at the Station Roads. This will be a bit of a test for Corinthians, won't it, Dave?
Yeah, they were pushed hard by Yuki last week. They only won 4-2 in the end.
I think Jorge was clearing his throat there.
You already mentioned Carl Hickey. So Colby have been in great scoring form, although they have faltered a little bit last couple of weeks. So, they'll probably fancy being underdogs in this, but Corinthians have got too much firepower. I think it'll be probably fairly comfortable in the end.
Frank, Corinthians in good form should make fairly light work of this one, you think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think Corinthians are probably the informed team at the minute. They've picked up a couple of good results along the way. Like, they're the ones I'd say that are pushing, and they're getting good results, aren't they? So you'd have to say you'd fancy them down at Colby.
Alex, do you agree?
Yeah, it's not an easy place to go, though. Yeah. You struggled a little bit there to start with last season.
Exposed pitch as well, isn't it? So there's any wind. So.
Spoke to the air guys, and they said that Colby play really nice football. So, and he said that they're worried about them playing them this season. I think they got to play them twice.
Yeah, they defended. I watched them against Mills a few weeks ago. They defended well, and I think that'll be, obviously they're going to be busy against Corinthians, aren't they? So if they can defend well and maybe Carl next one up the other end, the cup set is not beyond as
well. They've already hates he loves it, but they've already pulled off one, haven't they? Beat Dafka,
Rushford versus Douglas Royal. Obviously, we've talked about Royal. They seem to be gaining in confidence every week, Dave, with the kids. But Russian import Aaron are pretty unbeatable, aren't they?
Well, you've already mentioned their home form. Definitely, they'll be fired up for this one. I've been impressed with Russian this season. Obviously, they're still near the top of the league. Royal, never discount them. They've got a very talented young squad, boosted by those recent results. But I just think the Spaniards will be too strong.
Russian win? Frank?
Yeah, I'd say Russian win. I was impressed with Douglas Royal, though. We probably shouldn't have beaten them in the league up there. We did. Well,
I think they've got a bit of a false position in the league, if you ask me.
We didn't deserve to beat them anyway. We did, but we didn't deserve to.
They're only a few points off the bottom, but they play some lovely football at times.
In the first game we played, I think we beat them 10-1, and it was nowhere near a reflection of the game. Mm-hmm. We had one at Sinbin or two Sinbins, and we couldn't get the ball off them for a good 10-15 minutes in the second half. But very impressed with them. Also, like you said, impressed with Russian. Maybe didn't give them as much credit after the first game. They played well against us the week after. We had a few missing, but they played well. So they're good. They're good. They're really good.
So you tip them to
Russian, but I think it'll be closer than than people might maybe people think.
Yeah. Final quarter final on Saturday says St George's welcome Ramsey to Glen Country Road, the scene of Rory Poole's fantastic goal. Geordie's look favourites for this. They've struggled with game time in recent weeks, though, haven't they, Dave?
They have, but they're another side. I mean, you know, the youngsters have made a pretty seamless transition into that squad. The future bodes well for them. I think Ramsey, again, they had some good young players there. It's been a bit of a stop-start season, but their performances have definitely improved of late. But I think, you know, Geordie's, you know, obviously it's Bassey's last season now in charge. They'll want to go out on a high. And I think the FA Cup's probably their most realistic one at the moment. So I think they'll be too strong.
Dave, you took the words right out of my mouth. Frank, they'll be wanting to win as much as they can for Bassey before he goes, won't they? So they'll be fired up for this one, won't they?
Yeah, definitely. And they've got some great players, haven't they? And like you say, the kids have made a great kind of... They've just moved in, haven't they? They've and took over type thing. They don't look out of place or anything like that. And they obviously won the Hospital Cup last year. But they'll be all guns blazing to beat Ramsey at home.
St George's win, Al?
Yeah, Ramsey, another good side, though. We played them a few weeks back on the bowl, and I think the bowl suits them. I think they suit a big, flat pitch. Young lads, mobile, get around the pitch. So they're good. But fancy Geordie's to win comfortably.
One cheeky little game in the Canlife Premier League on Saturday, Dave. Starting at the Memorial Playing Field, easy for me to say. Moran take on Douglas High School boys at the spiritual home of the Monkey Brain. Big game this for Moran, really. They could sort of almost secure their Premier League status with 3 points in this one.
Yeah, definitely. It's quite congested down the bottom of the table, isn't it? And this, you know, realistically, Moran have got a good chance of winning this because Old Boys are inconsistent. They've got a good side, and they just can't seem to play consistently throughout the season. So, home advantage. I don't know how that pitch is going to hold up, but yeah, Dave Brewer probably fancies chances with this one.
Al, you've played both of these teams. Would you say Moran could get something out of this one?
Yeah, maybe. I'd fancy Old Boys. I think Old Boys have settled excellently. I think the players they've brought in this year and the kind of click they've got again, which they were, you know, in fear of losing. They brought in some good lads and they seem to have a good team spirit up there. And I was impressed by the way Tommy Miller and Buckley had them set up against us. So, but I think Old Boys just edge it for me.
Should be a tight game. A game you're considering going to, Dave?
Yeah, should be good.
The buses are still running.
I quite fancy a Monkey Brains.
Should point out at this point, Frank has had to leave the building because he's off to his dentist. So we'll just have to manfully struggle on with us three.
He's left his biscuits, though.
He has left his biscuits. There was one GH Woods Cup prelim around game on Saturday. Jim's take on Brad and Dave. Now, this one, probably going to be quite a tight match. I'd fancy Braddon, but they've had a bit of a wobble in recent weeks, haven't they?
They have, and Jim's, you know, they'll probably be able to call upon most of their usual suspects that aren't always available. You know, they've got a good team there. Down the pitch, down on the Trombone pitch, again, we don't know how that's going to hold up with the recent weather. But, you know, I think if Jim's played to their strengths, they could get a result out of this. But, as you say, Braddon, they'll start as favourites.
Braddon win for you in this one, Al?
Yeah, Braddon win.
Yeah. JCK Division 2 is a massive game at the top in the best league in Europe. Foxtel take on Union Mills, the game of Hattie's going to this week at Billy Goat Park. Again, this one with the massive asterisks after it because, you know, depending on the weather. This will be a good game that goes ahead, though, won't it, Dave?
It will be, yeah. Two high-scoring teams. Mills are slightly ahead of Foxtel in the league at the moment, but you mentioned it before, Billy Goat Park, the lack of fixtures, so Foxtel have got several games in hand. Again, there won't be much in this at all. I think Foxdale, if Jay Chatwood turns up, I mean, I watched him a few weeks ago when they played Russian and he was their best player on the day. He causes any side trouble. So I think they'll be fired up. But you know what? I might have to sit on the fence in this.
Might go for a draw. Probably not help either side, really, in the title contention. A couple of your former club mates at Uni Mills now, and Jordan Crawley and Luke Booth, they're fanging them in. Mills were the favourites at the start of the season by many because of that firepower they had to them, but it's not been quite as straightforward as many people have expected for them, has it?
No, well, I think Ayr should be favourites.
Yeah.
Mills, obviously, I think Ayr and Mills will go up. But yeah, I think Ayr, after playing them the other week, they've got some. Yeah. They're at first. They do really well. They push in the first division, in my opinion. They push top four, six.
And do you think they'll keep them together if they go up? That's always the quandary, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think they will. I think they should do. They're all good mates down there.
Yeah.
They've got good side.
So do you think Foxdale can get anything out of this one on Saturday? keep themselves in the promotion race.
Tight game, that, won't it? Yeah, I'm going to go for a draw as well.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. The Dave Morial, Babe Norton Memorial Fence is gathering in numbers, isn't it? Douglas and District take on Ayr, we've obviously said, well fancied Ayr, as we say. D&D, though, obviously impressed the lads when they played them in the cup.
Yeah, they've always got
at
a big
home. Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not that nadgery little pitch at Nobles Park. It can play into their favourite time.
We like to say the slopes are level, don't we? But, you know, as we say, they've always got a big game in them, D&D. Aaron Delaney's in charge there now, and he's done a good job. You know, he's brought in a couple of the Cobby players.
More quick.
Yeah, obviously he's finding the back of the net on a regular basis. But, I mean, that squad, as Al says, I mean, that wouldn't look out of place in the top flight. There's so much experience in there, so much quality. So I think, you know, the Tangerines should win this one.
And Al, they need to just keep knocking off the results at the moment, don't they, if they want to keep playing up. If you start looking too far ahead, that's when it all goes wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You just need to take each game as it comes.
Yeah. As the old cliche goes, Governors Athletic take on Michael at the Bemba Bow, Dave. This one, you'd expect Michael to do the business in, especially if Kieran McNulty's in the mood.
And Andy Glover, don't forget, obviously he's slotted back into that team very nicely. Govs is a tricky place to go, obviously it's a narrow pitch, so you know they'll obviously want to use that to their strengths, but Michael got more than enough firepower in there. I mean, even just looking away from Pecker and Glover up there, they've got so many other good players, so there should be a win for them.
Michael, win for you, Al?
Yeah, on that 3G pitch, Pecker should score. Yeah. He's playing, he's so good.
Yeah.
Did you see it in Ireland training last night?
Yeah. Is he back?
He's back.
Oh, wow. Bit of a,
maybe I've just leaked something.
Yeah. Have you seen him fancy to return to the Premier League next season, or do you think there'll be a few clubs after him again?
Oh, I think he'd be able to, I don't know, I think Bassey will be looking at him.
Oh, right, fair play. Yeah.
Of course, a stir if he went to St Mary's, though.
Yeah. We'll have to get Vinnie Dale to get in touch.
Yeah, they talk about Adrian Rashid, but people will forget about Vinnie Dale. He was the original agent. Malou versus St John's, Dave. Again, a game that St John's should be favourites to win. They've only lost, actually, I think they've only lost one in the league all season, if my memory's correct.
Yeah, they've been one of the standout sides, even despite a managerial change halfway through.
Well, he left to move to the Dubai, didn't he?
Yeah, Callum's stepped in and done a good job there. Yeah, they've got a very good, very balanced side as well at St John's. Malou, it's been a transitional year. They've only had a couple of wins, I think. They are down near the foot of the table. This will be a step too much for them. But they'll just, you know, want to keep plugging away and putting in some good performances.
We talk about Ayr having a squad that's, you know, of Premier League quality. St John's have managed to keep most of the boys that they were in the Premier League with last season.
I've just changed my mind. I think they'll go up with Ayr.
Right.
Not good. Also just reminded me that we have a side bet on with Luke Booth this year. He bet about six of us in the in Jack's on Boxing Day. £100 each that... Mills will win the league, so
Right. He could be paying out.
He's putting that out there publicly. Is he really coming for our money?
Is there a cash out option there? Right, before we go, Dave, Comedy Corner.
Yeah, I'll get my notes right, but so Corinthians have gone top of Comedy 1 now after thrashing Castletown 9-0 last weekend, but that game was abandoned after 70 minutes, but the result should stand.
Amongst
the scorers for them, Joe Middleton and Adam McCulloch both got hat-tricks, Jordan Cowan got two, and Phil Kelly also scored. St Mary's match against Peel, obviously you alluded to this before, it was awarded to the Westerners, the Saints couldn't field the team, so Corinthians are now firmly in the driving seat there. They're 3 points clear, and they've got, I think, is it 3 games in hand, so it's looking good for the Whites. Geordies are now level on points with St Mary's after they beat rivals Rushen 7-2. Good result for them.
Yep.
Callum Morrissey banging it in the.
He's there. He's every flipping way, isn't he, Callum Morrissey?
Imagine him getting in the Junior Cup team later in the season. He got
absolute scenes of that.
Yeah. He got a hat trick. James McStay, Josh Kane, Connor Hislop also got goals. Missing one. I don't know who that is.
It's a very strong Geordies combi team, isn't it?
Certainly is. Kyle Lund got both for Rushen. The other game to go ahead saw Royal edge past Douglas Athletic 3-2. James Clark got a brace and Tom Smith also scored for the Whites, and Dan Robertson and club legend Mark Lilliman also bagged a goal for the Pinks.
Rare appearance for the chairman, that, isn't it?
That's it. And the other game was Old Boys v Ramsey, which was postponed.
Right.
You think you could seal the Combi 2 title?
Yeah, we should have some sort of klaxon, because this is the first senior men's league title of the season could be sealed this week.
Is, and this is where we're sending our man on the north to.
Yeah, Rory Poole's going to go home and watch this one for us.
Yeah, they're playing Colby, so...
should be a good game, that.
It will be good. Yeah, if they win that, they've got the title. This is, despite their game with Union Mills being abandoned last weekend, I don't quite know what's going to happen with that result yet. But Youthy's only realistic challenger, Braddon, and they've been deducted points for fielding an eligible player.
Right.
So they're currently third at the moment, but D&D are currently second, but their title hopes were extinguished as they lost 6-1 at Colby.
Yeah.
In that game, Jake Turner Oliver scored for D&D, but there were no details of the Colby scores received. Air United, they won 5-2 at Governors Athletic. Amongst the scorers there, Harvey Cleeter, James Garrett, Matthew Jauncey, and Zach Suska,
yeah,
and Harry Reid. Vinnie Cowley and Mike Cherry scored for Govs. And then elsewhere, Ogden and Michael played out a 2-2 draw at the Niverson Stadium. James Carush and Ethan Levers got the goals for the O's. Jack Smith and Kyle Moore netted for the Aces.
Fantastic stuff. Right, sure, Alex is waiting with bated breath for this, but Dave, reads the weather.
I think Al's still, he's a fast asleep over there. It's actually not looking too bad at the moment, weather-wise. It's certainly a lot better than in previous weeks. Friday you'll see only patches of light rain, but it'll stay mostly dry, which will hopefully help out the pitches. There is a chance of overnight rain, which could develop into Saturday morning, but it will dry off and brighten up later on, so it's just a case of hoping the pitches are recovered in time.
This is what you're saying.
I think there's still going to be a few disturbances, but I don't think it's going to be too, hopefully too bad.
Right, fantastic. Before we go, there's a couple of bits of other news this week, wasn't there? Adam Long, as you see this, Ali scored his first goal, senior league goal for Notts County this week.
Yeah, it's amazing. I actually seen the goal this morning. It's on Twitter. A nice little, nice header.
Yeah, it's a trademark header. See the goal celebration?
No, I just seen him. I didn't watch it that far. I just see him running away towards the crowd.
It's worth a watch because he obviously forgets where he is. He still thinks he's at Glen Coetzee Road or up at Gary Moore, because he actually described it himself in
a headless chicken.
A headless chicken. So it's worth a watch. But yeah, fantastic. Yeah, Adam seems to have slotted straight into the Notts County defence there. He's played 90 minutes in the last three games. They are going for a playoff spot at the moment. There's more on that in this week's Manx Independent.
Their manager described that as probably their biggest win of the season. Was it Neil Audley, the manager? So well done to Adam. Good luck for the rest of the season with that.
And I think it's the right move at the right time for Adam. Some much needed minutes, and he says it's a bit of a step up from the under-23 league, which I think they've been doing very well in Wigan, actually.
They have, yeah.
So good luck for him. Hopefully the deal will be extended to the end of the season. Talking of seasons, the new USL season starts on Saturday, so that means that, this weekend, it might even be games on Friday, this means Liam Dawes on action, doesn't it?
And you were very excited by some breaking news over
there. Did you see who they signed?
Yeah.
Tim Flipping Howard. What a move that is.
I know. He's on the board there, isn't he?
He's sporting director.
But for him to come out of retirement, I mean, how old is he now?
It's the equivalent of Jonesy coming out of retirement and playing for FC Arnhem next season.
Paul Jones, not Frank Jones. Great news. And another fine beard.
Exactly. And did you see Liam was named in the 10 top defenders to watch this season in the league? So I hope he has a cracker season. Did we find out who they're playing this weekend?
I haven't seen, but
I should know this, but I don't.
Obviously, you know the American soccer quite well, don't you? Yeah. So you'll be keeping a close eye on that this season.
Yeah, I will be. I don't know who they're playing. I'll try and get to a couple of games in June.
Yeah, they are. It seems to be growing as a league, that USL. There's a couple of new teams have been included this season, and a lot of the MLS teams seem to have their sort of second teams in that now competition, don't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of new teams. A lot of money going into it.
I think when we had Liam on the podcast last time, he said the attendance figures are up there with some of the second tiers in Europe.
Absolutely. And I know it's the league above, but the fact that Inter Miami have now had their first game, it's generating that interest in the sport in general over there.
Cheeky little, the cup game where you can play? Open Cup, isn't it?
Cup, yeah.
Maybe an MLS side. I think did they have an MLS side last year? I think they played one of them, didn't they?
In Nashville, I think they did. I can't remember who they played. I think they did play an MLS side.
So with Timmy Howard, I'm sure the sky's the limit. If they don't win the league now,
you've got Jose Baxter there as well.
Yes, of course, former Everton youngster. Yeah. So it's all coming together. It's going to be Everton FC.
I think we need to get a kit. We need to get a replica kit.
What number's Liam wearing? 5, is it?
Yeah, I think it's 5. Yeah. No, I don't think, I'm not sure. Maybe I should know this as well.
I've got put you on the spot here, Alan. Sorry.
He'll bring one back for you, won't you?
Yeah. Right, that's about it for this week. Thanks for coming in, Alex.
Cheers, mate.
Good luck for Saturday and for the rest of the season. I'm sure it will end in some sort of silverware. Dave, I think that's about it. We should apologise. We've had our midwinter break, haven't we?
We have, yeah. The whole island shut down the last couple of weeks for us, didn't it? Yeah, we just didn't really get out of the office much, but yeah. It's good to be back as well.
That's it now until the end of the season.
Yeah.
Well, we'll say it is. Something will probably come up. Right, until next week.
Ta-ta for now.